are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here with you. It is a crossover Wednesday show today on the Locked On Giants podcast. Lauren Cox, the host of the Locked On Bears podcast, is going to join me in segments 2 and 3. We're going to, as we have been doing all season long, the first segment will be devoted to the opponent, which in this case will be the Chicago Bears. And then in the final segment, I will talk Giants. So that's coming up segments 2 and 3. But first, before we get to the crossover segment of the program, I have to apologize to some of you. You had sent in some questions for Twitter Tuesday, and unfortunately, because I got a late start the other day in recording Twitter Tuesday, I missed a few questions. So I am going to make that up to you right now. I'm going to answer some of the questions that came in that I missed. I think I've got them all now. And if I missed any, please, please, please make sure you were tagging them Ask P Train. And also let me know if I missed something. I think I've got them all, but obviously I want to try and catch them all. So, all right, just real quick. Empire PR man, if there's, let's see, how will the Giants block Khalil Mack? You know, it's interesting. I haven't yet gotten to that part of the film, but the Rams, if you saw the game the other night, the Rams did a wonderful job of keeping Khalil Mack off the stat sheet. So I want to see what they did. I have a feeling that what they did is going to be very similar to what the Giants might try to do. So I don't know, Ruben, necessarily if they used two tight ends or if they chipped him or what. I haven't gotten to that point just yet. But if it were up to me, I would say definitely try and chip the guy whenever possible. You know, I would imagine he might line up against whoever is at right tackle. At that point, you're going to definitely need a tight end. So I'm curious to see if, you know, if Red Ellison isn't back from the concussion that he suffered, I suspect you'll probably see a lot of Scott Simonson trying to get Khalil Mack chipped or whatnot. So that would be my guess there. One Fishy Scientist asks, I'm wondering what do you think about Daniel Jones's leadership skills and control of the huddle? And do you sense the players trust him at quarterback? I do think the players trust him. As far as what I think about his leadership skills, people aren't going to want to hear me say this, but he reminds me a lot of Eli Manning. The personality, I mean, just in how he goes about his business is so similar. And, you know, I think maybe Daniel is a little bit more fiery than Eli in the huddle, in that I've seen him, you know, from the press box, I've seen him kind of, you know, be a little bit more vocal, a little bit more expressive or animated, whatever word you want to use. So I think that's the primary difference. But, you know, on the surface, there's a lot of similarities with Eli, and it's really not a fair comparison. I realize it, you know, Daniel Jones is his own man. So to keep, you know, comparing him to Eli, it's not fair to him. It's not fair to Eli, but that's, you know, when you ask me that question, that's what comes to mind. And, you know, I like what I've seen so far from the kid. So, all right, this next question came in via email. And again, this got buried somehow in the bottom of my email box. This is from Tyler J., who asked, now that the Giants season is a wash, looking back at Shermer's decision to switch from Eli to Jones after week 2, do you think it was the correct call, or do you think the Giants would be in a better spot and actually playing for something with Eli at quarterback? Tyler, I would say, and you know that I'm an Eli Manning supporter. I never, ever believed that the Giants' problems were all on Eli, despite what some people were saying. But in retrospect, I think it was the right decision to switch to him. Because you have to remember the Giants are playing for 2020. it was never about 2019. I think the Giants, with all the youth movement that they have, they were hoping to get these kids experience, and not just Daniel Jones, but, you know, the Dexter Lawrence, O'Shane Zimenez, DeAndre Baker, and the rest of the, you know, the draft picks and second year players. They were hoping to get them more experience so that by 2020, they could maybe hit the ground running. So from that perspective, yes, I do think the decision was had it to be made. I think now also the Giants know that they can move on from Eli after this season. They don't have to go and plop down another $20 million plus to retain him, because they know they have a quarterback capable of running the offense that they have in place. So that's going to certainly help with, you know, the cap ramifications. But yeah, you know, it wasn't Eli's fault. I will go down in flames believing that, but I do think it was the right decision to move on from him. And, you know, it's unfortunate that things haven't worked out and the season turned into, you know, the mess that it is. But again, you just have to keep it in perspective, and you have to remember it did not take the Giants 2 years for that roster to deteriorate. It took several years. And so it is not going to take them 2 years to necessarily turn it around. I do know that there are exceptions to that rule. There are teams like, you know, the 49ers, for example, who turn things around. But the Giants were just that badly damaged from all the years of the busted draft picks and whatnot. And that's kind of where we're at right now. So, all right, folks, I think that is the last of the questions. I'm just going through my inbox real quick, and I do believe that's it. So we're going to take our first break. And when we come back, we are going to launch the crossover segment of the Locked On Giants podcast with Locked On Bears co-host Lauren Cox. Stay with us.
The Locked On Giants podcast is brought to you in part by BlueChew.com. Visit BlueChew.com and enter promo code LOCKEDON to receive your first shipment for only $5 shipping and handling. That's BlueChew.com.
Welcome back, Giant fans, and a big hello to the Chicago Bear fans as we begin the crossover segment of the Locked On Giants and Locked On Bears programs. And joining me now is Lauren Cox. He is the host of the Locked On Bears podcast. Lauren, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Hey, I appreciate you doing this. I always love these crossover Wednesdays to kind of get that local perspective from the opponents.
Absolutely. And big game for the Bears and the Giants coming up. The Giants coming off the bye week. The Bears, you know, having some struggles. Not their season not going exactly the way they wanted. And Lauren, let's start off by talking about the quarterback situation. Mitchell Trubisky was benched apparently because of an injury. What can you tell us about that situation? And will the Bears go back to him if he is healthy, despite the fact that he struggled this year?
Yeah, if he's healthy, he will. Matt Nagy, their head coach, has said repeatedly that if healthy, Mitchell Trubisky is their starting quarterback. It's just a question of how serious this hip injury is and how it's going to sort of play out. And it's very much mysterious in Chicago right now, because it started out mysterious on Sunday Night Football. There was some level of communication breakdown somewhere along the way, not only between the quarterback and the coaching staff, but also the team and the media and public relations, as far as not getting the injury out there right away. So everyone thought it was just a pure benching for the first 5 or 10 minutes, and speculation ran wild. And at that point, there's no containing that firestorm until the injury comes up a little bit later, and it feels more like an excuse, or maybe not totally factually true, but the Bears are standing behind it 100%. And I don't know that they have a ton of incentive at this point to have made up the injury, especially with everything that's kind of gone into it. But there's still plenty of conspiracy theories in Chicago right now. But for now, we don't know how long it will affect him. But as long as he's healthy, he'll be the starter. I'm not sure if we'll see him in New York. It's still a little too early to tell.
How concerned are you watching this Bears, you know, team and the sloppiness that continues despite the fact that they're more than two dozen games into Matt Nagy's offense?
It's definitely a concern, especially because it wasn't so much an issue last season. I mean, of course, they went 12-4, so you have a very different team in terms of production, but it's a very similar team in terms of the talent and the players. They didn't make a lot of changes this offseason, you know, two or three starters here and there, and maybe one or two key backup players. But out of the, you know, the 50 or so guys that are going to play significant snaps, you're only changing 5 or 10 of them. And yet the same players who played at such a high level last year haven't been all continuing that consistency that we thought we could expect from those players. So some of it seems to be some lack of accountability in some areas, perhaps some lack of leadership in some areas. It's hard to speculate too much from the outside without really being in that locker room, but it sounds like they have a culture that is supportive and it's not like toxic or anything in there. They just, for some reason, a certain level of mediocrity seems to kind of be accepted in this locker room, and it's sort of preaching patience, but at some point you're 4-6 and there's not really any more time to be patient.
Now, they came off of a very disheartening loss against the Rams the other night. How much do you think that took the final air out of their balloon, or is this something you feel that they can bounce back from?
Well, I think there was a lot of air taken out of the balloon with sort of the quarterback change at the end, because they were down 10 with a few minutes left, and it felt like they could have maybe pieced together one last comeback attempt, even though it might have been a little bit out of reach, and they just sort of fell apart. So I don't know. This doesn't seem like the kind of team that's going to just completely phone it in, but it's felt like they've been kind of lacking some energy in multiple recent weeks. So I would not expect a 100% juiced, energized, and ready to go Bears team against the Giants, but I don't think they're going to just completely kind of give up either. And they've sort of been in this middle ground where when things are going well, they'll really get going and have some of that real excitement on the field. And when things start falling apart a little bit, it can kind of snowball.
One thing I was surprised to read about when I was, you know, starting my work on the Bears is that the Rams basically shut Khalil Mack off the stat sheet. I mean, how often does that happen? Not often, I would imagine. What did they do that just neutralized and took Mack out of the game?
Yeah, Mack's season thus far has been a point of contention for Bears fans, because there's a perception that he's not producing at the same level. And to some extent, he hasn't had as many big, like, explosive highlight reel plays, but he's still doing a lot of the dirty work that doesn't really get measured so much in the stat sheet. But this Rams game in particular was the first game all season where he did not record a statistic. No tackles, no sacks, no anything. And that's sort of the big focus point there. And what the Rams were able to do, it was sort of a combination of things of the Rams did and what the Bears did. I mean, first, the Rams switched to a very run-heavy offense that they haven't really done much at all this season because Jared Goff has been struggling. So they ran the ball a lot more than they passed it, which limited Khalil Mack's opportunities to get after the quarterback. And then when they did get after the quarterback, the Bears kind of switched their scheme to the 6-1 that the Patriots used in the Super Bowl to kind of shut down the Rams, and was actually sort of initiated by the Chicago Bears and their last defensive coordinator when they played the Rams last year. Well, they'll put six guys up on the line of scrimmage and one linebacker behind them. And because they only had three linebackers in the game, they had to drop their outside linebackers into coverage quite a bit more. So in the Rams game, Khalil Mack rushed the passer 10 snaps. So it just wasn't a lot of opportunities to get after the quarterback. So between a heavy running game and then a passing game where Mack was in coverage, which was more the Bears' decision there, it seemed like a little bit more of a lack of opportunities, and some of that's the Rams' credit, and some of that goes back in Chicago.
When you look at this Bears team, you know, a lot of people say that if they upgrade the quarterback, maybe they will have a chance. But overall, you know, especially with the Giants coming in, and they've had their struggles as well, where do you think, where are you most concerned about this matchup, the Giants versus the Bears, and where the Giants can maybe, you know, take advantage of a weakness?
Well, it seems like the Bears have had really mixed results in stopping the running game and trying to be sort of consistently shutting down opposing running backs. And so I know the Giants have had some ups and downs in that regard, but I think assuming we get a little bit of a better Saquon Barkley, if he's healthy, I know he kind of had the shoulder injury, but if he's able to go in this game, you know, Todd Gurley and the Rams offense was able to pretty well run over this Bears defense until they kind of switched some things up to that 6-1, like I talked about. And the Rams did that with two rookies starting at right guard and right tackle and a backup center in there, and they were still able to run over this Bears defense. So there's sort of this, when I come back to that lack of energy and that lack of intensity, you know, two of the Bears' big leaders on defense, Danny Trevathan and Akeem Hicks, are both on injured reserve, and they don't quite have that same mentality that they used to. They're still playing at a very high level, but overall, there's just a little bit less of that intensity in the trenches in particular. So I think that's an area where the Giants might be able to get a little bit more physical than the Bears and get that running game going, which then, you know, can neutralize Khalil Mack the way the Rams did and maybe make things easier for Daniel Jones. And that's how you give up 17 points. And that's all it takes to beat this Bears offense right now is a couple touchdowns. So it starts with that ground game and with that intensity, and it leads to a victory.
And finally, Lauren, what's your feeling about this game? Two teams that are basically going nowhere this season. How do you see this unfolding?
Boy, you know, it's hard to have any confidence in the Chicago Bears with how poorly they've played as of late. But I also, you know, the Giants are also 2-8 and have lost six games in a row. You know, they do have their bye week, but I think we're going to see what has been the majority of Bears games this season, which is extremely low scoring and kind of ugly and not a lot of highlight big plays. And so much is going to depend on if Mitchell Trubisky plays versus Chase Daniel, because that throws a whole other dynamic in there. So it's hard to tell at this point, but I think given how closely these two teams even played last year with Chase Daniel in the game, I would expect something similar. And I have to lean Bears just by a field goal, you know, 17-14, 2017. The Bears can't score 20 points. I'll go, 17-14 or 13-10, something kind of ugly and gross.
All right, Lauren Cox, thank you so much for that overview of the Bears. Giant fans, Bear fans, stay tuned after the break. We're going to flip the script. I'll be talking Giants. So we'll be back after this. Away creates thoughtful products designed to change how you see the world. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/lockedon and use promo code LOCKEDON during checkout. Listening on the go? If you can't visit Away right now, you can find this and all other offers from the Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcasts.com/offers. If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or would you keep on walking? Well, of course you take the money. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? Well, if you want to start putting money in your pocket, check out MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as whom you're betting on. And when you bet with MyBookie, the options are endless. For example, did you know that MyBookie allows you to bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. Or if you're the kind of person that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. No matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of the year. And when you join MyBookie now and use the promo code LOCKEDON, MyBookie will double your first deposit. So go on and visit mybookie.ag. And don't forget, use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate this special offer for new users. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid.
All right, welcome back into this crossover Wednesday with Locked On Bears and Locked On Giants. And Patricia, I'm curious about the injury situation just to start with this Giants. And I know that's sort of the always the hardest thing for us to get a good sense of on the outside. But kind of looking around an early start to the week for the Giants, I know Saquon Barkley, there's, you know, questions about whether he could be back for this game. Evan Ingram said he's kind of optimistic he could play at the tight end position. What's your sense of particularly these weapons around Daniel Jones as far as, you know, how close are they? Are these going to be more like game time decisions, or do you think the Bears will know more surely ahead of time what to prepare for here?
Well, Saquon Barkley should play. He's been playing, you know, he hasn't looked himself, but I don't anticipate he will miss Sunday's game. Unless God forbid something happens and he steps the wrong way and re-injures that ankle to where he can't go. The two that I'm looking at are Ingram, as you mentioned, who has the foot injury. Now, he did come out of his walking boot for the first time on Monday. He mentioned that to the reporters who were in the locker room, that was the first time he was able to shed the boot that he had been in for about 2 weeks. He feels pretty confident that he is on the right track. But I think right now, as we record this, it's probably a little too close to call as to whether or not he's going to be in the game on Sunday. The other guy they're looking at is receiver Sterling Shepard. Now, Shepard has been in the concussion protocol for, I want to say, 6 weeks now or 5 weeks. And, you know, the last time he made progress, and as of Monday, he was able to practice in full. Granted, it was a partial practice, but I don't believe he had any kind of limitations. The last time that happened, unfortunately, he experienced symptoms coming in like the day before the game, and they had to shut him down again. So I really don't know what his status is going to be. Personally, I would like to see them shut him down and just, you know, there are some things more important than football, but certainly the loss of Shepard and not having Ingram in that passing game would be a tremendous loss for the Giants. But, you know, I think they're going to probably try and ride the coattails of Saquon Barkley, because right now he is their best offensive weapon.
How much do you think the fluctuations and sort of the in and out weapons that they've had with Shepard kind of out for the last few weeks and Ingram missing time recently, and how much do you think that's been correlating with Daniel Jones' play? Because it seems like, you know, he kind of hit that rough stretch, you know, in the weeks like, you know, 4 through 7 or so, you know, there was that kind of stretch there. But then, you know, it seems like a couple weeks ago against the Lions, it was kind of a big performance. And then even the Jets put up some solid numbers in that one, too. What's sort of been the key to his ups versus his downs?
I think it has to do with what the defenses have been showing. I mean, if you look at his downs, you know, the Patriots and the Vikings mixed up things and showed and did a really good job with disguising. I'm not so sure you can say the same thing, you know, that the Lions did, you know, as good of a job with disguising, or the Jets so much so. But really, you know, the thing with Jones that people need to remember is he's still learning how to read NFL defenses. And, you know, and you couple that with the fact that he's holding on to the ball a little too long. And then there are other times when his pass protection has just not been as good as you'd like it to be. And then you throw in the ball security issues that he has, and some of the play calling, I think, factors into that as well. Like, for example, we don't see a lot of, for example, designed rollouts, which was quite frankly is a shock. We saw quite a number of them with Eli Manning doing them, and he's not exactly the most mobile quarterback out there. And now all of a sudden you have a mobile quarterback and they're not rolling him out as much as you did back in the start of the season with Manning. You know, you're not seeing some trip formations, which, you know, are designed to get guys open. So I think it's a mixture of everything. I you know, I'm not crazy about the play calling. I think that it could be a little bit more creative and a little less predictable. We have a running joke in the press box. I sit with two other colleagues, and whenever we see a certain formation, which is basically the power eye, we call it, and we always call out, Saquon Barkley, run up the middle, and we're right. And if we can see this thing and we can see some of these play calls and call them out before they happen, certainly the opponent can see it. So to your question, it's just, I think it's a mixture of a bunch of things. And ultimately, as Jones gets more experience, as he learns to read defenses better and make faster decisions, the hope is that those will, you know, that things will go a little bit smoother. But, you know, then again, he also has to work on ball control, which has been a huge problem.
How has the offensive line affected that? It seems like, obviously, it's been a priority in New York for, it seems like, many years now to kind of get that offensive line back together. They've added some talent there. I know Mike Remmers was hurt last week, or last game before the bye week, but it sounds like he might be back at right tackle. Did you anticipate him, if he's not maybe not being 100%, being a potential vulnerability there? Or how was sort of your overall evaluation of this offensive line and its influence on both Daniel Jones and even Barkley's recent struggles?
The run blocking has been probably the most disappointing element of the offensive line play. I mean, you just don't see as many battles being won at the second level. You see guys getting there and they're either just standing there or they're taking bad angles or whatever. And, you know, it's just, you look at what Saquon Barkley's been able to do. I think a lot of that has been of his own talent and his own sheer will. So the run blocking has definitely, I think, been the biggest disappointment. Now, as far as the pass protection goes, I'm not saying that it's been pristine, because it hasn't. Some of that is on Jones holding the ball a little too long, as I mentioned before. But there have also been instances where we have seen confusion on picking up stunts and twists. And we saw some of that, you know, a couple weeks ago against the Jets when they had the new right side there. They had Nick Gates in there with Kevin Zeitler. And just sometimes when you put a new guy next to a veteran, you know, you have to rebuild that communication, and the players talk about that. They say, oh, you know, we talk about this in meetings and in practice, but until you get out there in a game where it's just so much faster and you really don't have as much time to think, you know, it becomes an issue. So yeah, I wonder how much of that the injuries played into the equation. You know, you had a new center in Spencer Pulley. You had Nick Gates, who made his first start and who hadn't really played much at the NFL level at tackle. And I would not be surprised if that was an issue. So, you know, Pat Shurmur said Monday that if his starters are healthy on the offensive line, that being John Jalapio, who's been out with a hamstring, and Remmers, who's had the back issue, he says those guys will play. And I think there might be something to that, in that, hey, look, at least those guys can communicate because they've been doing it all year.
Well, those problems sound very familiar to Chicago Bears fans that have had some concerns about their offensive line, some lineup changes, and some communication issues as well. And I sort of look at how this Giants defensive line matches up with this Bears offensive line. And I think in the running game in particular, you know, you look at like the defensive stats for the Giants, and I imagine it's a little bit skewed because they've been losing a lot of games. Opposing offenses have been then running the ball a lot because opposing offenses have had a lot of leads. So I'm curious on your thoughts on how well the Giants are able to win in the trenches and stop the run, because they have some real talent in that front seven. I mean, some names that people, I don't know that everyone will recognize them, but maybe some underrated guys that across the NFL, there's some real talent there. But teams have just been running the ball because they've had a lead on them. So running the ball has been a real struggle for this Bears offensive line and for the offense as a whole. Is there any hope for something different against the Giants?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, the Giants' run defense has been pretty much hot and cold. And the reason why it's been hot and cold is because if you look at the personnel that's been deployed, and I'm going back to the Arizona game, James Betcher, the defensive coordinator, decided for whatever reason to put two defensive linemen up front and then bring down two edge rushers who, you know, are a little lighter in weight. And the Cardinals ran wild against them. And you saw the same thing against Dallas. You know, Dallas has a huge offensive line, and instead of matching mass with mass and power with power, they did the same thing, because I think they were so concerned about helping the back end of the defense that they figured, okay, we're going to put an extra defensive back at the expense of taking out one of our defensive linemen. And I think that has been a big problem, because, you know, the Giants, it's like, you know, that defense has been a sinking ship. You know, it's like, where do you plug the hole, and do you rob from Peter to pay Paul? And I think that's what we've seen. So it really kind of boils down to, you know, do the Bears have the receiving threats that can really stretch that defense and test the Giants' defensive secondary, which has struggled, and which we're probably going to see some new faces back there. We're probably going to see Julian Love at free safety. I would imagine we're going to see more of Sam Beal at cornerback. DeAndre Baker, another rookie, has been struggling. So are they going to continue with that, you know, to make that backfield, that defensive backfield, not be as exposed as much? Or are they going to just say, you know what, we're just going to buckle down and just try and stop the run and go there? So it's kind of been, you know, a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation, I think, for James Betcher, and trying to figure out how to defend teams.
Well, I think this matchup against the Bears bodes well for them then, because this offense has not been able to consistently throw downfield and be a vertical threat. So it'll be interesting to see, especially if it's Chase Daniel versus Mitchell Trubisky. Daniel even less inclined, I think, to hit some of those deep shots in. So it's obviously hard to sort of get a grasp of this game, given some of the injuries on both teams. But you asked me, so I have to flip it on to you. What are your expectations for how this one plays out?
gosh, I really hope the Giants win, because I'm telling you, every week it's like I feel like I'm writing the same thing every week as far as why they're losing, you know, what's going on. And, you know, Pat Shurmur talks about, oh, you know, I looked at the team and I see stretches of good football and, you know, there's mistakes that are basically killing us. And unlike last year where the Giants had, you know, where you could argue that, you know, a call here, a call there, you know, a missed call by the officials or whatever, you could have maybe argued that the Giants could have won a couple more games. I just think, you know, because of the youth movement, they've gone a little bit backwards. You know, there's promise, yes, but the results haven't been there. And, you know, the other thing I am concerned, and we've only been in the locker room once as of this week when we record this, is how deflated are they? You know, are the players going to come back with the energy? Are they going to, you know, shake off what has happened in the first 10 weeks and just try and finish on a strong note? Now, they've talked about finishing strong. They've talked about winning, but, you know, talking and doing are two different things. And, you know, I'm concerned about the energy level, you know, at this point with 6 weeks left and really, you know, nothing to play for other than pride at this point. You wonder if guys are going to start making business decisions or what's going to happen. So sitting here, I can't honestly say it as we record this. I have a good feeling about it moving forward. I think, you know, on paper, the Giants should win. They should be able to take advantage of, you know, the struggles the Bears have had at quarterback. But I just don't know. You know, I think Khalil Mack, the chances of them keeping him off the stat sheet, I think that's very slim to none. I just think that it's going to be another closer game than what it needs to be.
Well, I hope for both of our sakes that we get something notable that comes out of this game and not just a few field goals and a disappointing 3 hours of our Sunday. So Patricia, I appreciate you joining us and doing this crossover podcast.
My pleasure. And thanks to all the Giant fans and to the Bear fans for tuning in. All right, Giant fans, that'll do it for today's show, the crossover show. Want to thank Lauren Cox for coming on. Make sure you check him out on Locked On Bears. And make sure you tune in tomorrow. Ed Valentine of Big Blue View will join me for the program, and we're going to talk Giants progress. We're going to talk about what progress they have made, and we're going to talk about what they still need to do. So don't miss that show. It'll be tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then.